7:30 on this West Virginia morning, I'm Beth Voorhees. The director of the Partnership for Elder Living, Phil Schenk, says 7,000 elderly West Virginians are receiving care through a Medicaid waiver.
But there's 2,000 people a month that aren't, that are waiting for that. And people are dying, waiting to get those services. You know, we just don't have the money to provide that service for as many people as needed.
The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. 46 years ago today, 78 coal miners died in the Farmington Mine Disaster in Marion County. Also known as the Mannington Mine Disaster, the tragedy was one of the instrumental forces that led Congress to pass the 1969 federal mine safety law. A new civil complaint was filed 2 weeks ago, citing new evidence that reveals one of the mine operators disabled an alarm system on a mine fan before the November 20th explosion. If it had been working properly, the alarm would have set a signal that the fan wasn't working, and the 99 workers would have been evacuated. Instead, 78 men died. The new lawsuit also accuses Consolidation Coal of intentionally concealing evidence about the disabled fan alarm system. 46 years later, the plaintiffs in the suit are the surviving relatives of the 78 miners, the defendants, Consolidation Coal, and the estate of the mine operator. The suit is asking for $110,000 for each of the men who lost their lives in the No. 8 mine. One of the widows who fought for justice against the coal company was Sarah Konosky of Berwicksville, West Virginia. She has since passed away, but in an archived interview that was originally recorded for NPR by Michael Klein in 1992, Mrs. Konosky recalled the last day she spent with her husband before he was killed in the Mannington mine.
Oh, say, did you see him going early this morning? He passed by your door on his way to the coal. He was tall, he was slender, and his dark eyes so tender. His occupation was mining, West Virginia his home. Oh, what will I say to his poor little children?
I just fell in love with him.
And what will I tell his old mother at home?
Perfect and right to me. A good husband, a good father, and a good friend. And so, never a day goes by, I don't think about him. I have good memories.
If my heart that's clear broken, if my darling is gone. Oh, say, did you see him going early this morning?
The memory of November 19th, 1968 is painful for Sarah Konosky. She lives at Berwickville, just a few miles down the road from Mannington, where her husband worked the midnight shift at the No. 9 mines. He had worked 45 years in the coal mines since he was a boy of 14, and he knew the danger signs.
My husband worked midnight. And, well, when he came home the last day from work was Sunday morning. Came home about 8 or a little after, and he came home and he says, come down here, I want to tell you something. He said, that mine is going to go. He said, it's so full of gas, and they have a machine covered up. He said, they're more concerned about the machine than they are the men. And, see, he was fire boss, too, see, and he'd take all them readings. When he'd take the readings, why then, they were bad, you know, too much methane. So I said to him, I said, Pete, don't go to work anymore. I said, I'll help you. I've helped you before when there strikes. And we'll make it. And I will work. I'm not too proud to work. I love to work. And so he said he'll sleep on it. So then he came up and he went to post office. He couldn't sleep, you know. And then pretty soon he laid down. He got up that evening. And I made his evening meal. Then he, we came in the living room and they was playing Honey, I Miss You on this television song. He said, you know, if you're in the other room, I miss you. I said, my goodness, Pete, I think about that every day. If you're in the other room, I miss you too. We're just so close. And I said, when you're outside, I miss you. Because if he'd go down the road, to go to the post office or go to the grocery store, I'd always run to the den, and he would toot his horn and wave down by the road, and I'd look out the window and wave to him. That's how close we were. He's just that good of a guy, I tell you. But anyway, that evening when they was playing that, well, then we made remarks to each other. Then later, well, we both loved to dance. He was really agile. We loved to dance. We could do all the dances. And so we were dancing around here in the living room, too. And then we played a game of cards, 500 rummy. Then it was getting about 10 o'clock, and he said, would I make his bucket? And he'd pack his lunch. And I said, Peter, you going to go? He said, I have a job to do. So he dressed, and then he said, goodbye, I'm going to work. He kissed me goodbye, and I said, I love you, Pete. I'll see you in the morning. Be careful. And he went. So then I couldn't sleep very good. I'm always an early riser. I get up sometimes 10 till 6 in the morning. I got up early that morning, and I turned on the Today Show. And it told about the tragedy on the television. I was alone sitting on this davenant, right here, the same davenant. And I don't know, I just guess I was in shock, but I ran to the phone. I called my son. I called Pete's brother, lives next door over here. And then I just took out the street screaming.
You can listen to the rest of Mrs. Kanosky's story on our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning at 7:37. Mostly cloudy with a chance of snow today. Temperatures falling into the 20s and 30s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit wvdrs.org for employer services.
It's well known that West Virginia's population is aging. That's placing a strain on services to the elderly. Today, the West Virginia Partnership for Elder Living, which looks at policy development around aging issues, is holding a summit at the University of Charleston. This forum will look at new ways to serve this growing demographic. Phil Schenck is the director of the Elder Living Partnership. He sat down with us to talk about this critical issue.
How are we doing in the state in terms of elder living?
Well, of course, we are, like everybody else, growing in the elder population. You know, I can rattle off statistics for the next half hour, but I think everybody is aware of it. It's not really that question. But West Virginia being one of the oldest states in the country, we battle it out between us and Maine and Florida. But we have a more serious problem. There are West Virginia will have a population of 21% of our population will be over 65 by the year 2020. The rest of the country won't hit that figure until 2030. There are counties now that are well over that figure. Pendleton County, for instance, is the oldest county in the state in that sense of percentage of population, and they're closing in on a quarter of their population being elder. So, you know, that's all well and good, but what does it mean? It means that and it's not just the over 65, because the real issue is the folks that are 85 and older, and that population's growing faster even than the 65-year-old. So it's not just the baby boomers, which is what you usually hear. It's that folks are living longer, and they need more services. And the status of in the state is that we have the services, we just don't have the funding to provide those services to everybody who needs them. That crisis is happening now. It's going to get worse.
What do we do about it?
That's what this summit, the theme of this summit is all about. And again, it's not just us. This is an international discussion at this point, certainly nationally, because we really don't have any particular answer. No one does. There's a lot of ideas about things that ought to change. There are, of course, major commissions at the national level that have come out with recommendations and so on. But certainly no action at either the federal congressional level, certainly not at the state. We really can't afford to, as a society, to continue the system that we've had, because we've already seen that it's too expensive even for what we've got now, let alone what we're going to have.
Phil Shank, director of the Elder Living Partnership, the summit titled Looking for the Future of Aging and Caregiving, convenes this morning at the University of Charleston. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.